From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he returns to a message entitled, The Spirit of Truth. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 17, the Lord Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth, an expression which occurs four times in the New Testament. As Dr. Cairns will show, there are in the Bible at least seven actions ascribed to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. The first of these is the inspiration of the Bible, which is known as the Word of Truth and the Scriptures of Truth. Then, another action of the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of Truth, is to point to Christ and not to Himself. Furthermore, the Spirit of Truth uses the truth of the Gospel to bring in the full number of those whom God the Father has given to His Son. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, he takes a few minutes to speak about the great privilege that Christians have of access to God, a truth with which he deals more fully in his booklet called A New Beginning, a publication for those who are serious about learning how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life.
I'm sure there have been times in your life when you've been facing some immediate problem and you've thought, if I could only talk to my senator, if I could only talk to the president, if I could only get through to some person in a position of real power, if I could only get them to listen to me, I think I could have this resolved. But then you waken up to reality, and you find out if you try to contact your senator, normally you're talking to a staff member, normally your letter will go no further, or you'll get a reply that means nothing to him or to you. You certainly will find it very difficult to get into the White House. If you came to London and you wanted to get to see Her Majesty, you may get to the gates of Buckingham Palace and see whether the flag that shows she's in residence is flying or whether it's not, but you're not going to get inside. So getting access to the people who have the power is really very difficult for most of us. And even for those who can get it, they find that in the long run, it's boosted up a whole lot more than it deserves, because there are so many things that human power cannot have any effect upon. I mean, if you're dying of cancer, you may get to the president, you may get to the queen, you may get to the greatest doctors on earth, you may have the access to you that you want to all the places of power and prestige, but it'll not do you any good. At the end of the day, there are certain things that human power cannot affect. Now, when we come to the Word of God, we find a great truth. God's people always, at all times, in all places, under all circumstances, have immediate access to the seat of ultimate power. God rules in the kingdoms of men. He does His will in the heavens and in the earth. There is none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is all-powerful, almighty. He is the God of glory. His throne rules every other throne. All things are subject to Him, and He works all things according to the good pleasure of His own will. So to have access to that seat of power is the greatest privilege that we can have. And yet that is exactly what Christians have. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, we are told we have access. In Ephesians chapter 3, this is repeated. We have boldness and confidence. How and why? Because we have access to Him. Now, let me make you understand this. This means there is a way to God. There is a way into the presence of God. This is what makes prayer so powerful. Paul said to the Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us come boldly," or speaking freely, "let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." There is one at the right hand of the Majesty on high, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world, became a man, united humanity to His eternal deity, and in His humanity deserved and merited a place in heaven by His perfect obedience unto death. He is at the right hand of God, the right hand of the Majesty on high, and He's there as our advocate, as our friend, as our intercessor, as our burden bearer, as our great high priest. Jesus Christ, the righteous, is at God's right hand for us. Through Him, we have access to the throne of God. Peter said we should cast all our care on Him because He cares for us. We know that He does all things well. He will give us grace for every burden, or He will remove the burden. He will either take the burden from off our shoulders or strengthen our shoulders to carry it. Either way, He will hear us. He will answer us. One of the great privileges of being a Christian is to be able to pray, to get through to God, to have access to the throne of God. Make sure, believer, that you do not treat this lightly, but that today you actually spend time exercising your royal prerogative of entering the presence of the King of Kings.
Though Satan buffets you, your flesh seems so weak. Loneliness hinders you, the way seems so bleak. All strength is gone from you, escape you will seek. Be not discouraged, look up. Be not discouraged, be not discouraged. Christ won the victory, the battle's been won. Be not discouraged, be not discouraged. Fight on, dear soldier, and you'll hear His well done.
Look to the Savior every step of the way. In every trial and temptation His way. Seek to bring glory, seek His word.
Discouraged, Christ won the victory, the battle's been won. Be not discouraged, be not discouraged. Fight on, dear soldier, fight on, dear soldier, fight on, dear soldier, and you'll hear Him say, well done.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Let me just say this. The Holy Spirit never starts a cult around himself. It is wrong, and this is happening in many professedly Bible-believing churches, it is wrong to omit a proper scriptural emphasis on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. I have been grieved and saddened at the number of people who have told me over the last 3 or 4 months since we started looking at the person and work of the Holy Spirit that never in their Christian experience before have they ever had any systematic teaching on the Bible doctrine of the Holy Spirit. That is a departure in fundamentalism. Until a generation ago, fundamentalism had as one of its great marks an emphasis on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And in just about every great gospel campaign, there was that stress upon the Spirit and His work. It's a tragedy what has happened, that the Holy Spirit has been omitted practically, not theoretically, but practically from the theology of so many churches. But why that is wrong, it is also wrong to make a cult of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit is God, and He is to be worshipped. He is to be honored, glorified with all the dignity due to deity. But the Holy Spirit comes from the Father and the Son to take of the things of Christ and reveal them to men. When you get anything like many parts, for instance, of the charismatic movement, which claim to be peculiarly a movement of the Spirit, where there is little, in some cases no emphasis, upon the great objective work of Jesus Christ, you can be sure, absolutely sure, that the claim to be of the Spirit is a false claim. The Holy Spirit neither speaks constantly about Himself, nor does He gather a cult or cultus of worship around Himself. The peculiar ministry of the Holy Spirit is always pointing Christward. The The great substance of his testimony is the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The great impetus of his ministry is to bring people to Christ. That is the mark of the Holy Spirit. Again, we can say this, that the Holy Spirit is never in any movement that derogates from the glory of Jesus Christ, detracts from his honor, or questions the great principal doctrines concerning Christ. I say this today because in this day of mealy-mouthed compromise, almost anything that professes to be Christian is accepted as Christian. Well, I say, my friend, whoever likes it may like it, and whoever dislikes it may dislike it. My job is not to please men, but to preach the Word of God. I say that when I go into Romanism and I find a denial of the once-for-all atonement of Jesus Christ, when I find a removal of Christ from the position of being the one and only mediator between God and man, when I find that the grace of God that saves is given a minor place and man's work is elevated to have a determining power in saving the soul, I can say this is not of the Spirit of truth. This is not Christianity. When I come into so-called Protestantism and I find a liberal who at this Christmas season will go through this book and he will talk a lot of sentimental twaddle about a baby in a manger, but he will deny the essential deity of that babe in the manger, I say that is not Christianity. That is not of the Spirit of truth. When I come into evangelical churches and I find that there is a movement that is called preaching the gospel, but which is just a reinstatement of the ancient heresy of Pelagianism, which exalts the will of man to the throne whereby man determines whether heaven will be populated or whether it will not be populated, and the blood of Christ is evacuated of its mighty success in its shedding at Calvary, then I say that is not of the Spirit of truth. Oh, the Spirit of truth exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to press this point too long and too far. My friend, it is no coincidence that in our churches that profess to be faithful to the Bible, when there came to be less and less of an emphasis on the person and work of the Holy Spirit, and more of an emphasis on human activity and human ingenuity, human schemes, human plans, human gimmicks even, it's no coincidence that the more that happened, the less there has been a preaching of Christ in our pulpits. I listened to quite a few radio preachers, at least bits and pieces of them. I have to be honest, there are very few that I have the patience to listen to all the time because the smoke starts coming out of my ears. But I have to confess as I listen to them that I hear very little of the person of Jesus Christ. I hear very little of the atonement of Jesus Christ. I hear very little of the success of Jesus Christ. I hear very little about the current intercession of Jesus Christ. What's wrong? I don't like to be overcritical about people's prayers, but I have to say this to you. I am very, very grieved that so many men who believe this book can pray nothing more to direct a word to God, and then it's all my determination, my will, my choice, my decisions, my this, my that, my the other thing. With no emphasis upon our God and His Christ. How little truly of the gospel is being preached, even in professed gospel preaching churches today. The Holy Spirit, if He is there, will witness to Christ. The third thing that the Holy Spirit does as the Spirit of truth is that He uses the word of the truth of the gospel of Christ to bring in the full number of God's elect. And here I'm just joining the two things that we have already noted. He produces the Scriptures and He witnesses to Christ from the Scriptures. And through that, He brings in God's elect. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom He also trusted. There's a dispute among commentators as to whether the word in italics should be trusted or whether it should be referring back to verse 11, He also obtained an inheritance. It really doesn't make any amount of difference because the same truth is ultimately being described. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now notice this carefully. This is how the Holy Ghost executes the decree of God's eternal purpose. At least we can say this in the case of all adults. And I add that because there are good scriptural grounds for believing that infants dying in their infancy are covered by an act of God's grace in the atonement of Christ. I'm not getting into that. But in the case of adults, how does God bring them into the church? How does He bring them into salvation? By the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation. Now back in verses 4 and 5 of Ephesians 1, Paul had talked about God's eternal decree. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Verse 5, He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. But I want you to notice this. And I want you to understand me. Not one man among us gets to heaven simply and purely because of God's election and nothing else. In other words, this old notion that, well, if God is elected and God is predestinated, we don't need to do anything, is totally unscriptural. God has not only set the plan and the end, but God has decreed the means. And the means to bring sinners to Jesus is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's so many people who sit back, and I confess to you this morning, and if you've heard bad things about this, well, just don't be too prejudiced, just sit back and listen a bit. I confess to you that after the way that so many call heresy, I worship the God of our fathers. I am what men call a Calvinist, though I prefer to say I believe what Paul believed and what the other writers of Scripture believed. But let that just help to clear the decks. I am among those. And yet I have to say that there are so many who have little of the Spirit of Christ about them, little of the love of God about them, little of a passion for souls, little prayer, little use that they make of the Scriptures to do anything for God. All they're doing is using this book as a textbook to prove their views on election and predestination. And if you don't dot their I's and cross their T's in their exposition of the doctrine, they want nothing more to do with you. These are not bogeymen or straw men I'm building up to you. I know men like this. And I'm grieved at men like this. The last man in the world who should have a cold, hard heart is a man who believes that salvation is all of grace. He's the last man in the world to be cold-hearted. But these fellows, my, they are so full of their peculiar doctrine of God's eternal predestination that we don't need to do anything. The elect will be saved. Whatever will be, will be. I want to tell you, my friend, it is the will of God that when God saves people, they be witnesses for Jesus Christ. It is the will of God that His church preach the gospel to every creature. It is the will of God that we feel ourselves debtors both to the barbarian and to the wise. It is the will of God that we use every effort and every means that God scripturally places at our disposal to get out the gospel, because God has decreed to bring in the full number of His people through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.